Let us now turn once again to the word of the Lord, to the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 4. When we have found the place and with God's holy word open before us, let us look to the Lord in prayer as we pray over the word of the Lord. Most loving and gracious Father, we come now to thine own infallible truth. We thank thee for this God-breathed word. And we know that it is the word of the eternal God unto us. And we ask thee, Lord, that thou will open thy word to our hearts this day. And, O Lord, open our hearts to receive the word. And even, Lord, as it was that day in Nazareth there in the synagogue, how the minister handed the book to the Savior, and Christ opened the book. Lord, we ask thee to open the book today and reveal unto us wondrous things out of thy law. Grant us now, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might be enabled, Lord, to preach the word, and in preaching the word that we might preach Christ and make much of his precious blood. For we do ask all these things in the Lord's name and for his eternal glory. Amen. Luke chapter 4. And our text for this morning are the verses 18 and 19. The Lord has been given the scriptures. And we're told that when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. As we conclude this series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, I want to do so by looking at the Holy Spirit in relation to the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The opening chapters of Luke give us a glimpse of that holy union between the second and third persons of the Blessed Trinity. Luke chapter 3 and verse 22, we read that the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And throughout his earthly ministry, the Savior displayed an attractive dove-like spirit in all of his dealings with men. Was there anyone more gracious, more lowly, and humble, and meek, and gentle as the Lord Jesus Christ? In chapter 4, the chapter opens with another reference to the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Here we read in the opening verse, And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. These words emphasize the fact that the Savior was constantly under the control of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And being full of the Holy Ghost, he was led by the Holy Spirit. And of course, the one who is full of the Holy Ghost will live a life that is led by the Holy Ghost. Dear child of God, if we know anything of the fullness of the Spirit of God, then we'll know something of the leading of the Spirit of God. For Paul has told us, they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Now you will notice that Spirit of God may not always lead us into green pastures. Here we find that the Spirit led the Lord Jesus into the wilderness. And over in Acts chapter 8, we read there about the Spirit of the Lord leading Philip the evangelist. He's been preaching in Samaria. He's been preaching in the midst of revival. The whole city has turned to the Lord. And now we find in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So he's led away from the city of revival. And he's led into the desert place. Look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Spirit said unto Philip, Philip is led by the Spirit of God. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And we read in the next verse, and Philip ran. That's the proper way to respond to the promptings and the leadings of the Spirit of God. He didn't show any reluctance, any hesitancy, but Philip ran thither to him. And we know how he dealt with the Ethiopian eunuch and led him to Christ. Had Philip not known the leading of the Spirit of God, he never would have come in contact with the Ethiopian eunuch. See how important it is for us to be filled with the Spirit of God and to be led by the Spirit of God. And then we read in verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Once more, the leading of the Spirit of God. So the Lord Jesus had the Spirit of God upon him, coming upon him in his baptism. The Lord Jesus, we're told, was full of the Spirit of God, or full of the Holy Ghost. Now we find that the Spirit of the Lord led the Lord Jesus and led him into the wilderness. It's good to live a life that is under the control of the Holy Ghost. Now we know that he went into the wilderness and was led into the wilderness to be tempted off the devil. He was led into the wilderness to engage in a battle with the prince of the power of the air, with the prince of darkness. Now, before he engaged in that battle and in that conflict, I believe it is no coincidence that we read that the Lord Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. He was going to face the prince of darkness. He was going to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And before he entered upon that conflict, the Lord Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. And of course we know that he came out of that conflict victorious, defeating the devil. And dear child of God, here is another reason why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll know victory over the devil if we live a life whereby we're led by the Spirit and we have the Spirit of God resting upon us and we're full of the Holy Ghost. Now next we read that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Verse 14. So here's another reference to the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God. Spirit came upon him at his baptism. Luke 4 verse 1, he's full of the Holy Ghost. Luke 4 verse 1, he's led by the Holy Spirit. And now we read verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee and went out fame of him through all the region round about. With the power of the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus embarked upon his earthly ministry. And he began his ministry there in Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Just as the Lord told his disciples that they were to begin in Jerusalem. In other words, they were to begin at home. Judea, Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. As far as the God-man was concerned, he began his ministry at home, in Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's a good custom to have. Go to the place of worship on the Lord's day, as the Savior did. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He was reading from Isaiah 61. And the opening verses there. And after he had read these verses and closed the book, he sat down. And then he told all who were gathered there in the synagogue, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The one that Isaiah spoke of is standing in your midst. The one of whom Isaiah said would have the Spirit of God resting upon him. The Lord Jesus was saying, "I am he. Here I stand. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And that's what we want to consider with the Lord's help this morning. The ministry of the Lord Jesus, as he ministered with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. That's a whole series in itself. Considering the Spirit-filled, Spirit-led ministry of Christ. But what we have here in these verses, and in these words read by the Savior, we have Christ and the prerequisite of the Spirit. We see from our text how the Scriptures and the Spirit honor Christ. His coming is announced in the Scriptures. And he is anointed with the Spirit. Both the Spirit and the Scriptures honor the Lord Jesus. Both the Spirit and the Scriptures exalt the Lord Jesus. Did not the Lord Jesus say, when he has come, namely the Holy Spirit, he will testify of me? And the Lord Jesus, as he walked with the Emmaus disciples, he opened to them the Scriptures, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. I don't know why in so many circles today the Old Testament Scriptures have practically been abandoned as not being relevant to today. Yet the Old Testament is full of Christ. Everywhere you turn in the Old Testament Scriptures, you have the Lord Jesus. And here in Isaiah speaks of Christ. Did not the Lord Jesus say to the scribes and the Pharisees regarding the Scriptures, he says, they are they which testify of me. And here you have Isaiah testifying of Christ. And as the Lord Jesus read these words, and then declared to one and all, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears, here you have the recognition by the Lord. The Lord read the words of Isaiah, then said, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, the Lord, among other things, publicly recognized that the Holy Spirit was upon him. That he was the Spirit-filled individual of whom Isaiah spoke. He could say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. With these words having reference to the Savior being full of the Holy Ghost, I wonder how many of us can say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We know that we have the Spirit of the Lord within us. He dwells within. And we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost resides in that temple. We have the Spirit of the Lord within. Can we say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Can we say that we know anything of the fullness of the Spirit of God? Christ was able to recognize that. And say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord Jesus could say, I am filled with the Spirit. I am led by the Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. May we as believers, dear child of God, be able to say the same thing. Then we notice also the readiness of the Lord. The Savior was just beginning his earthly ministry, a ministry that would inevitably and eventually bring him to Calvary. Now he is ready for that great work. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And here in this verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Here we have his work outlined for us. The Lord Jesus had a great work to do. A work that he did not commence until the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Do you notice that? Here the Lord sets out a perfect example for us all. Whatever work we are called to do for the Lord, we need the Spirit of the Lord to be upon us. We need to know something of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Whether the work is physical or spiritual, we need to have the Spirit of the Lord upon us. You turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. And yes, the Spirit of the Lord is mentioned in the Old Testament too. Exodus 31 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Mark this. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. What for? I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and an understanding and a knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. Bezaleel had the oversight of the construction of the tabernacle. And here to carry out that work, that physical work, what do we find? We find that Bezaleel was filled with the Spirit of God. Whatever we do for the Lord, whether it is physical or spiritual, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to have the Spirit of God upon us. When deacons were chosen for the church in Jerusalem, we're told what their qualifications were to be. Acts 6 and verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. There it is again. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So the deacons were to be men full of the Holy Ghost. Bezaleel, who labored in the building of the tabernacle, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And before the apostles went forth to preach the gospel to every creature, the prerequisite was, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They needed to know what it was to have the Spirit of the Lord upon them. And they were to be effective ministers of the gospel. So, dear child of God, don't we see? Whatever we do for the Lord, we need to pray, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Look at the response to the Lord. The response of the people to the reading of this passage of Scripture from Isaiah. We're told there in verse 20, and he closed the book, Luke 4, verse 20, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And all he had done up until that moment was read the Scriptures. See, there's something very attractive about Spirit-filled Christ. All eyes were fastened. Fastened. They couldn't take their eyes off him. No wonder Solomon said in his Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 16, yea, he is altogether lovely. The people in the synagogue that day saw the loveliness of Christ. And then you look there at verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? They all bear him witness, and they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. He hadn't even begun to preach. He had simply read the Scriptures, and already people were filled with wonder. You know, that teaches us something. It teaches us that we ought to be very careful how we read the Scriptures in public. Congregation was filled with wonder as Christ just simply read the Scriptures. I have heard of people, of sinners, coming under conviction as the minister read the Scriptures, even before he had started to preach. The Spirit of God had used the reading of Scripture to bring conviction upon the heart of a sinner. We ought to be careful how we read the Word. I've been in meetings where the minister stood up to preach, and before he preached, he opened the Bible and started to read the Scriptures and left words out here and words out there. We need to be careful how we read the Word. It is God's holy Word. We need to be careful how we handle it, for it is God's holy Word. Follow the Savior's example. The reading of the Scriptures forms an important part of our worship. When the preacher has the Spirit of the Lord upon him, it will be evidenced even in the reading of the Word. But notice, the congregation was impressed by the Savior's reading, even though the people did not see him as the Son of God. They really looked upon Christ that day is just a man from Nazareth, just an ordinary man, because they said, this is Joseph's son. This is Joseph's son. And so as far as they were concerned, the person standing before them, or now sitting before them, as he begins to preach, was just a mere man. And yet, they were still impressed by his reading of the Word. They were filled with wonder at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. sinners will give ear to the word that has been read and preached by a man who is full of the Holy Ghost. It's the prerequisite. Savior was full of the Holy Ghost before he started his earthly ministry. Then you have Christ and the purpose of the Spirit. Look at the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." What we have here in actual effect is a summary of the Lord's ministry. What he came to do. Notice his witness. His witness is referred to here. The Savior had the anointing of the Spirit because he was sent to preach the gospel to the poor. Now you'll notice there are six things mentioned here in this verse, and indeed verse 19. The Lord Jesus was sent to preach the gospel to the poor. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He was sent to preach deliverance to the captives. He was sent to recover the sight for the blind. He was sent to set at liberty them that are bruised. He was sent to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But you notice something. That this list begins with preaching, continues with preaching, and ends with preaching. Three times preaching is mentioned. Surely this emphasizes what the burden of the Lord's earthly ministry was prior to Calvary. It was to preach the gospel. That's how the Lord conducted his ministry. It commenced with preaching. For we read in Matthew 4 and verse 17 that he began to preach repentance. Not a word you hear much of these days. Repentance. Jesus began his ministry and he began with preaching. The Lord Jesus continued his ministry and he continued his ministry by preaching. Luke 8 and verse 1. And that's how he concluded his ministry. Mark 16 verse 15, by saying unto his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." May we never lose the art of preaching. May we never abandon this divine commission to preach the gospel. So the Lord conducted his ministry. He was a preacher. And he was a preacher who was full of the Holy Ghost. And he was a preacher who went out with the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. The Lord Jesus was a Spirit-filled man. And his preaching touched the hearts of the hearers. Look at chapter 4 of Luke, verse 31. After he's left Nazareth, after being chased from the city of Nazareth, we read in verse 31, "And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. The word power is the word authority. The Spirit-filled man will speak with authority. He will declare the word of God to be the word of God. You preach with power. You preach with authority. As we read the other week there in Acts 4, verse 31, that the apostles, after they had prayed, place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. It's the mark of a Spirit-filled man. And here we see it in the Lord Jesus. Preaching of Christ was like none other. No one ever preached like the Lord. No one. And in church history, God has been pleased by his grace to raise up many mighty preachers. George Whitefield, C.H. Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers. Ah, but Christ was the King of Preachers. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in all things, including his preaching. For what did the officers of the Pharisees say when they went to arrest him? They came back empty-handed and they said, never man spake like this man. Instead of the officers arresting Christ, Christ's preaching arrested them, rendered them powerless, couldn't lay a hand upon them. Never, never, never man spake like this man. And this surely teaches us that the true preacher of the gospel must have the Spirit of the Lord upon him. Just as the disciples were not to go out and preach the gospel until they had been endued with power from on high. The word endued there means clothed. Until they had been clothed with power from on high. There's no telling what God will do with men and indeed women who are clothed with power from on high. I believe will shake the very gates of hell and cause the devil and his demons to tremble. I was his witness, and then you have the work of Christ. Consider here the work that was before him, as well as the greatest work ever undertaken and ever wrought by God or man. The work of redemption. The work of redemption was the greatest work that God ever wrought. And it was carried out by the one who is the God-man. When you think of it, what we have here, and look forward in verse 18 regarding the work of Christ. The Lord must have the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him before he started that work. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The word brokenhearted there means crushed. My, how many people have been brokenhearted and many have been crushed. And Jesus has come and healed them. Praise his wonderful name. This was the work he was sent to do. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And when you look at it, and you look at the work the Lord was to do, as well as the work of the cross, you can see here that if it wasn't for the cross, he wouldn't have a gospel to preach. Because what we have in verse 18 is linked to the cross. What do we have? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. A gospel without the cross is not the gospel. There's no good news in the gospel if there's no cross there. What hope is there for the poor if you don't tell them about the cross? There's no deliverance for the captives without the cross. There's no healing for the brokenhearted without the cross. There's no recovering of sight for the blind without the cross. There's no liberty for those that are bruised without the cross. And Christ came to do all these things, and he did so with the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. And here is a verse that gives hope to all who are in need. To all the needy. Look, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, the bruised. There's hope in Jesus Christ. And he tells his congregation that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. My, we have a wonderful message to proclaim. And when it comes to proclaiming it, may we look for the fullness of the Holy Spirit to aid us and give us the power to preach the gospel. That's what we need. Need the power of God to preach the gospel. And we can tell sinners there is one who is able to heal the broken heart. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus specializes in healing broken hearts. He specializes in giving sight to the spiritually blind. He specializes in setting the captives free. He specializes in bringing liberty to the bruised. That was the message Christ preached. And he did so with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And finally you have Christ and the power of the Spirit. What Isaiah said in these verses simply highlighted the power of the Spirit in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. How wonderfully did Christ minister to the needy? Through the Holy Spirit. During his sojourn here upon earth. There are five types of people mentioned there. 5, the number of grace. My, how Christ ministered to the needy according to his grace. Here's the humble spirit of Christ. Many who look for the coming Messiah reading the Old Testament scriptures were greatly mistaken about his appearance. They thought that the Messiah, when he would come, would walk in the company of the rich. He would be in the company of princes and kings. He would dwell in a palace. They couldn't have been more wrong. And I'm glad they were wrong. Because if Messiah came to walk in the company of the rich and in the company of princes and kings, I never would have met him. But he came to preach the gospel to the poor. That's who he came to meet with. That's who he came to save. When he came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives, to recover the sight for the blind, and to set at liberty the bruised, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And it takes the Holy Spirit to do that. He came as the friend of publicans and sinners. He came not to call the righteous to repent, but sinners. He came as the great physician. He came as the balm of Gilead. The Lord Jesus came with the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him to carry out his work. And believer, when you and I have a work to do, and even those jobs that we think are beneath us, we need the Spirit of the Lord to carry them out. And the helpful Spirit of Christ. We can see from these words just how helpful Christ was. He helped the poor. He helped the broken in heart. He helped the captives. He helped those who were bruised. There wasn't one bruised soul came to Christ whom he couldn't help. There wasn't one broken-hearted soul came to Christ whom he couldn't help. There wasn't one poor soul came to Christ whom he couldn't help. There wasn't one blind soul brought to Christ whom he didn't help. This is what he did with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. Oh, that the Lord would make us more like our Savior. That we'll have the humble Spirit of Christ and we'll have the helpful Spirit of Christ. And we'll know much of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we do bless thee for the Spirit-filled life and ministry of our blessed Savior. We bless thee that he went about doing good with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit being upon him. We do thank thee for our Savior. We thank thee for the Holy Ghost. We thank thee for our Heavenly Father. And O loving God, I pray that thou would come and fill me with the Holy Spirit. And gracious Lord, use me. Use me, Lord, to preach the gospel to the poor. And through its preaching, may the brokenhearted receive help
May the captives be set free. May liberty be brought to the bruised. Lord, answer prayer. May thy hand be upon us throughout this day. And in all our travels, Lord, be with us in our going out and coming in. And return us in thy will to this house tonight. We might learn more about our Savior. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.